with Christ, and you can see it in your face, and you can see the joy that you have. It just makes a pastor go, thank you, Lord. And it's not some, you know, selfish reward that, oh, I feel good, I'm doing a good job. It's like, oh, God, you have done this work in people, and I get to be a part of it. I see some of our men who've grown over the years. Frankly, it brings me to tears to see men in love with our Lord. And our old ladies always do. They just give their life to Jesus, and they just seem to just follow him and put their foot on the right firmness, and they just seem to go. And I know it's not always perfect, and I get that. But men, if you can get men to follow after Christ with their hearts.
Amen.
Wow. You're my crown. And even as I've loved you and as you've loved me over these years, and we've shared these last 20-some years together, there is a longing for you. And there is a desire to be with you. And I can say from my heart, you are my crown. I can understand completely what Paul is saying. So we understand his deep love. We understand his care and concern for these people. And what's amazing, I like the way he does this in this verse. He tells them, you know, I love you. I care about you. Man, you're my crown. You're my reward. I just find my joy in you. And then he says, now here's the word from the Lord. And he gives a command. In church, it is a command. And he says, stand firm in the Lord.
Amen.
Says, I want you to find faithful firmness. This isn't the first time he said it. He said it back in Philippians 1:27. He said, stand firm in one spirit. This is the second time he calls him to stand firm. And the word he uses is stecho. It's an imperative command. It's a military word. It kind of means to stand your ground, to hold your post, to hold your position, even in the middle of battle. No matter what's going on, don't go away from here. Stand firm. I mean, there's times in battle where you're kind of going, I just want to, you know, run like a little girl, right? I'd like to just tuck my tail between my legs and move. And he said, no, you stand firm. Don't lose your place. Mm-hmm. Hold that post. We saw the same thing that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 6. We just read that a few weeks ago, and I hope you every once in a while relate back to it. He says, in the middle of battle, you've got your armor on. You've got, having done all to stand firm, stand against the wiles of the devil. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. Wiles of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Stand firm no matter what comes.
Amen.
Disappointment, hardships, sickness, the fiery darts of Satan. You want to be a spiritually strong Christian and stable, then you have to learn the principles that are here. They're here, right here in the Word of God, right here in this passage. These 9 verses that we're going to be looking at have something to take to help us in every difficulty, in every stress. These verses will show us everything we need in finding faithful firmness. And it all goes back to what we truly think about God.
Amen.
This is really the heart of every true pastor. Remember in Acts chapter 11, verse 22, it says, and the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute. I love that word. that they would, that the heart to remain true to the Lord. You know, I mean, that's what a pastor does, is encourages your people and encourages their people to have a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, finding faithful firmness. That's what Barnabas did. Peter does it as well. He, in 2 Peter 3:17, he says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." Mm-hmm. Oh, don't lose that foothold. Don't be carried away from some charlatan, somebody who's telling you a pack of lies. Oh, well, he says some things that are right. No, he's a liar and a deceiver. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says, don't fall, stand firm. Mm-hmm. Concerned with people not living what God would have them live. Those that may be slipping or on shaky ground. Peter also wrote in 2 Peter 2:14, he wrote about false teachers and agents of Satan who are always trying to, in his words, entice unstable souls, not having a firm foothold. Why do you think Paul warned for 3 years in his ministry in Ephesus? He says, "With tears I warned." We looked at that a couple weeks ago. Peter repeat things, and he said, "I've told you these things over and over again to put you in remembrance so that when I'm not there, you can stay strong, firm in the Lord." Because they're concerned about stability of those who might be unstable. He also said in 2 Peter 3:16 that Paul's letters, the ones that were inspired epistles of Paul, were taken by what he says, untaught, unstable people, and they distorted the writing of Paul to their own destruction. That's a powerful statement. Because even today we have people who are distorting the teaching of Paul and the teaching of Scripture, who are confusing people, who are misrepresenting and misinterpreting God's word. Church, it's happening everywhere. Jude was concerned as well. He said that God alone is able to make you stable and to keep you from falling. James warned about the same thing. He said that the spiritually unstable are double-minded people who waver about things. They don't know what they believe. They don't know what is right, or they don't know how to make right decisions. They go between doubt and faith. They're spiritually unstable. They're not focused on the character of God. They don't understand Him. They don't understand His revelation. Even the Old Testament really gives us a pretty good example of this instability. In Genesis 49, if you remember, Jacob would gather his sons, and it was time for him to bless them, and he was about ready to die, and he starts with his oldest son, Reuben. Now listen to what he says to him in Genesis 49. If you want to look it up, you can, because it's kind of an interesting passage. He says, "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power." Well, I'd like for my dad to have said that to me. That would have been cool. 49. I mean, if you would have said to me, "Son, you're my firstborn. You get the first fruits of everything. You got my strength. You've got dignity. You got power. Wow. You got the right to the inheritance." But then look what Jacob said to him after that. But then he said this, "Unstable as water, you shall not have the preeminence." Now that's sad. What disqualified Reuben? His spiritual instability. You see, this is not a new problem. It's a very old problem. He continues, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it, and he went up to my couch. You see, Reuben had privilege, he had potential, he had opportunity, and he forfeited all of it because he was unstable as water. He committed fornication in his father's bed, in his father's house, with his father's concubine. You can go back to Genesis 35:22 and see that. He was a fornicator. It showed his spiritual instability. He was disqualified, and his father said, you will not have the preeminence. You see, spiritual instability is a disqualifier for many things. Spiritual instability is a disappointment to everyone. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, look for freedom. Christ has set you free. Don't you fall back, but stand firm. Don't fall back. Church, don't fall back.
Amen.
Colossians 4, Epaphroditus is praying, or Epaphras is praying, and that you should stand firm and complete the will of God. Stand firm. I mean, that's the pastor's heart, is it not? For his body, for his church to stand firm. He says, you want to make my life and ministry enjoyable? Man, stand fast in the Lord. Don't waver.